This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump's trip to Scotland has not stopped questions about the Jeffrey Epstein files, and that topic was also hanging over Vice President J.D. Vance's appearance in Ohio, where he was touting the Republican tax bill, but said,
Donald J. Trump, I'm telling you, he's got nothing to hide. His administration has got nothing to hide.
Top Senate Democrats today asked the Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche to commit to not pardoning Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's longtime companion who's serving 20 years for trafficking teenage girls, and met with Blanche twice last week. In Scotland, the president disagreed with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's statement that there's no starvation in Gaza. President Trump said more countries are stepping up to allow food into Gaza. Police in Reno, Nevada say there were multiple injuries after a police-involved shooting in the Valet area outside of a casino this morning. So far, no word on the conditions of any victims. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Governor Tony Evers announced Thursday he won't be seeking a third term. That opens up a gubernatorial race without an incumbent for the first time in 16 years. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
A Marquette Law School poll last month found 55% of Wisconsin voters did not want Evers to run again, even though 48% still said they approve of the job he's doing. Now, Evers' exit sets the stage for a competitive Democratic primary, and so far that field is wide open. On the Republican side, two candidates are in so far, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Business Executive Bill Berrien. Governor Evers will remain in office through January 2027. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
A primary will be held next August ahead of the fall election in November for governor. City government committees are just about done for the month of July. The Board of Public Works meets Monday to consider a handful of broadband internet permits. Then the next committee meetings are during the first full week of August, where the city will consider an ordinance restricting the sale of hemp-derived cannabinoids to people ages 21 and over. City officials will also take up items to replace drinking fountains around La Crosse and meet to discuss the new city administrator position next month. Average home prices in western Wisconsin have been lower than last year for the past 4 months already, while the number of homes sold is the highest in 5 years. However, in La Crosse County, local home sales reached a record median price of $340,000 in June, topping the old record set in May. That figure is also $25,000 more than this time last year and almost $55,000 more than the start of 2025. Median prices of homes in La Crosse County match the statewide number of $340,000. An air quality alert is in effect until 11 p.m. tonight. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers put on the pads. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers enter their second week of training camp. Wide receiver Dontavian Wicks struggled in his second year last season. I asked him about what some called a sophomore slump.
As we all know, I had a few drops. The whole media know that. You know, that's one thing I wanted to focus on this summer, getting around the ball more. You know, because in practice, you might not get that many opportunities.
Baseball, the Brewers and Chicago Cubs tied for first place in the NL Central. Both teams facing off tonight in Milwaukee, beginning a three-game series. The Brewers with a dramatic 3-2 victory yesterday over the Miami Marlins, thanks to a walk-off RBI by Blake Perkins, back from a fractured shin bone this spring.
Sometimes there's so much more, you know what I mean? It was emotional for me to see Perk come through right there. I mean, that was huge.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunny, hot, and humid today, with high temperatures scraping the low 90s, but it really feeling more like 100 degrees, prompting a heat advisory. And with the winds barely moving, it's not helping any. Overnight, some showers and storms are possible, and some could be strong to severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 87 degrees.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we'll talk to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, and Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Eagle 1490 AM.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And we're back. We're going to go straight to your calls in just a moment here. What are the biggest things being focused upon? I do find it interesting. Does the calls light up? The calls are lighting up about what we should be doing and what the Republicans should be doing and what the conversation should be doing about Ghislaine Maxwell and about Jeffrey Epstein and maybe about Donald Trump. But here's Bob from Cardiff, California. Bob, you're on the air.
Jeff. Yeah, just kind of what you just said. And that's, I listen to way too much news, including like Stephanie and Tom and you and the union show afterwards. But the one thing I haven't heard is I haven't heard it called the Epstein-Maxwell scandal. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they're really missing the boat there.
Mm-hmm. So you think they call the Epstein scandal, but they should call it the Epstein-Maxwell scandal. Say more about that. How come?
Just because that's what it is. It's both of them. It's not just one or just the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, except that Epstein's dead, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, what do you make of, and something that hasn't come up today, what do you make of the Trump's former lawyer, now works for the Department of Justice, who went to meet with her and then talk about limited immunity? What's your take on that?
Well, what I think is that it's Trump's lawyer, and I don't have proof of that. But I think that it's totally crooked, and it's just one more sign that Trump, his Justice Department has taken over, you know, the country at his command.
Yeah. Yeah. No, NBC News reporting that the meetings with the Justice Department are shrouded in secrecy. They won't talk about what they talked about or what was offered. And again, if they, what are they hiding? What is it that this administration, this Department of Justice, this Congress, who are they protecting? What are they hiding? If they really think, and I don't buy it, that who they're protecting is Bill Clinton. I don't buy that for a second. I don't buy that this president, this Department of Justice, and this Congress wants to protect him. Like they're wanting to protect somebody else. So I appreciate your call.
Yeah, well, the only thing that's there is that maybe Trump is stupid enough at first to think he could put it all on Clinton. Yeah. Because otherwise, I agree with you. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to think you could put Clinton in there and leave Trump out of it.
Yep, I agree with you. Chris from San Diego, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Look, we're in war, and there's no possible way until the Democrats figure out they've got to take back control of the media the exact way that the Republicans did. They've already given them the game book. I can give specific examples, like with why they need to call out the reporter themselves and the network, just like Trump does, and say, wait a minute, why are you guys asking if he's going to pardon her? Why aren't you asking why in the hell he would pardon a pedophile? Trump and those guys, they continually control this. Look at the way they're asking that.
Yeah.
It was the same way how he twisted it with Jerome Powell. Initially, people were like, wait a minute, you know, can he even fire the, you know, chairman of the Fed? Then it's changed now. You watch them, and they're just like, oh, are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? Not, hey. And
why would you? Who are you trying to protect? Why do you want to pardon her? Yep.
Oh, yes. Why in the world would you, and ask it just like that? And but see, the Democrats have to take the ball back. It's like with refs in the NBA, okay? This is the reason, and umpires, this is the reason the guys get in their face when they make a questionable call.
Okay, occasionally why a coach will let himself or herself get kicked out of the game, sometimes because their emotions get the better of them, but they also know at some level, if they just let things go, if they don't work the refs at all, the other coach is working them, and things will go the wrong way.
100%. This is why whenever somebody does ask Donald Trump, watch him. It's tapes. We don't have it. They've given the playbook, right?
Yeah.
We just use it with real stuff instead of the fake. Anytime somebody asks Donald Trump something he doesn't like, hell yes, and scream at him again. Well, no, he's got them all kowtowed. That was by design.
Yeah.
Now, the guy is a complete idiot, but you got to give credit where credit is due. He is a frigging genius when it comes to controlling the media. That is the fourth estate. He knew by controlling it, just like Putin knew by controlling the media, we can manipulate these people all we want, all right? NBC spent millions training this guy. The one thing he's ever been good at in his life is this, controlling the media. And the Democrats are kind of like the mother who's allowing the pedophile stepfather to molest the child.
Okay, all right, Chris. And I'm now going to not violate my own rules, but you did push one of my buttons in a constructive way, hopefully in a good way. I'll explain what I mean. So the so there are two things I heard you say, and thank you so much for calling. One thing I heard you say was, got to work the refs. Actually, maybe it's three things. One is, you said Democrats, so I'll say that, need to have more impact on the media, need to control more media, need to take from the playbook of the right wing what's happened to the media. Second thing I heard you say was, as part of that, you didn't say as all of that, but it's mostly what you focused on, they got to work the refs, got to complain. I thought it was a really great point, and say, are you going to pardon, are you going to pardon, are you going to pardon, instead of asking, why would you? Are you going to give immunity? Are you going to give immunity? Are you going to give immunity? Why would you? And keep asking that question and questions related to that. I think that's brilliant and insightful. Then you said the Democrats are a little bit like the parent who's letting the kid get abused because they're not standing up enough. This is the thing I want to quibble with because I see this happening. I see this idea out there that we have this idea that the Democratic Party is like this construct out there, and if things aren't going well, it's because it's not doing the right things. And I want to disrupt that construct a little bit. That's not actually how things work, or certainly how I understand how things work. And I see it with support for Democrats going down as support for Republicans goes down. So it's almost like we view them as our two parents, and it's not surprising we view it as such, right? Most people, when they're born, have two parents, and it's easy to think about that as the construct. And one of them is maybe the mean dad, and one of them is a nicer mom. But if the nicer mom isn't keeping the mean dad from doing things, well, you blame the nicer mom a little bit too. That's actually not how things work. All the Democratic Party is a repository for some votes and some donations, and they've gone through the trouble of making sure they can get folks on the ballot. If you look at the overall staff, If you look at the overall budget of what you'd call the Democratic Party, relative to overall campaigns, it's very small. They control very little. The presidential campaign wags the dog, or wags the tail, let me say, of the Democratic Party more than the Democratic Party wags the tail of a given presidential campaign. And by the way, we saw the same thing with Republicans, what happened to Trump. So Trump ended up controlling the Republican Party more than the Republican Party controlled Trump. So the thing I want to be a little more careful about is this idea is like, when things go bad, and when Republicans are doing bad things, that we say, Republicans are doing these bad things. Darn those Democrats. Republicans are doing all these terrible things. Darn those Democrats. Doesn't that sound silly when I say it? What I agree with is we need more distribution power. So much of this is just about distribution, just about the ability to communicate, having more programs like this, having a program like this, having more viewers, more listeners, more resources, having more people out there doing more good things so that anti-people messages are countered. We'll be back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
So heck yes, more influence in the media. But I don't blame exactly the Democratic Party for that. We do need more investment on that front.
Ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Millions of Americans take medicine like Ozempic and Zepbound. Many of them are overpaying by thousands of dollars a year. These GLP-1 medications for diabetes, weight loss, and more may not always be covered by your insurance, but GoodRx can help. GoodRx helps you save every month on prescriptions at over 70,000 pharmacies nationwide. Best of all, it's free to use. Check GoodRx to save on GLP-1s. Just go to GoodRx.com/GLP. That's GoodRx.com/GLP. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance, including Medicare and other federal and state-funded programs.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah, it's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
This is all too familiar to me. You wake up with a scratchy throat, congestion, runny nose, and cough. You know your body. You know you're getting sick. Your choices are tough it out, get sick, and take time off work. Hope the doctor can see you this month. Wait a couple hours at urgent care, sit in a room full of other sick people. Or open your emergency medical kit like ours. Just match your symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription. Start on the right meds and nip it in the bud now. It is not a first aid kit. It comes with doctor-prescribed medications to treat dozens of common and serious medical issues. Strong antibiotics for infections of all types, strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, a lot more. Plus, a doctor's easy guides, you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor. No waiting at the pharmacy. The meds are in the kit. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get $45 off at urgentcarekit.com/Tom and use promo code Tom. That's promo code Tom at urgentcarekit.com/Tom. And we're back. And if you have thoughts on a genuine middle-class economic policy, I am genuinely interested in the topic. Taking tariff revenues and doing something with it, I think that's important. And I don't think, I know that part of the move for Donald Trump to win a lot of white male Teamster voters who weren't particularly persuaded about a woman's right to choose, weren't particularly persuaded about what might happen with offenses to immigrants, weren't particularly persuaded by Donald Trump's history of racism, weren't particularly persuaded by cuts to Medicaid and cuts to programs for the poor. I know that he went after the Teamster vote with saying, "Don't worry. A lot of you are a little bit upper income, so therefore I can help you. I can help you with taxes. And by the way, I help to make sure you don't get your wages undercut by foreign workers. And by the way, these folks who are working for universal health care, that's not good for you, because if you run the union and you want to be able to negotiate based on health benefits, and employer-based health care is a key piece of the benefit package that's offered to your members, you don't want any of this AOC, you know, single-payer health care stuff. Maybe you don't even want a public option. And I totally recognize that part of the big strategy that helped Donald Trump get his, not majority, but his winning minority to get elected president. I also agree that having a strong middle-class oriented economic policy is critical. Let me offer a few things that I think should go in there. And does this mean that that's going to win over? If there is a culture, part of what we've got culturally conservative dudes who like have been told by their unions for a long time to vote Democrat. And usually it's better. And by the way, right to organize, if you think the right to organize is going to get protected by multiple generations, multiple 4 years of Republican administrations, you got another think coming. You think J.D. Vance is going to protect that? You think Marco Rubio is going to protect that? You think they're protecting that at state levels? You think we're not going to have more right to work states? And by the way, that means right to not unionize. Like, that's one that you should absolutely consider. You don't think that they're not going to come after Medicare and Social Security next? Your members should care about Medicare and Social Security, and you should keep track of what right-wing folks have been saying about Social Security even recently. You know they want to not just privatize that stuff, but take it down. And yeah, you want to just use tariffs to backstop it. You said just use tariffs to protect Social Security as if that's going to be enough money to do it, and that'll take care of everything. What I want to think about is not only Teamster members, because the definition of the Teamster is not the same as the definition of middle class. They are an important piece of the labor force in this country. How do we think about investment into public roads that does impact drivers? How do we invest in public infrastructure that does provide lots of union labor? And by the way, we're having major projects canceled because of a lack of investment. Infrastructure package didn't get passed by Donald Trump, did get passed by Joe Biden. I do think future-worthy infrastructure investments are one of the most important things we got to do. We disagree on the healthcare stuff. I do think we should be exploring healthcare options that aren't the same things that have gotten into this mess. They're helping some people, but hurting more people, boosting some crime. I do hope that middle-class folks are, I know that they are, will consider a little bit what we're doing with gun violence. But back to economic policy, I think one that I would encourage people, particularly in urban areas, particularly in rural areas, to work on is water investment. We can do public infrastructure projects focused on clean water, focused on making sure that we have access to it for irrigated agriculture as well as access for drinking. It's a big need, particularly with climate change coming down the road. Also, energy projects. Making sure we build renewable energy projects, but also retrofit buildings so they use less energy. Another one is lowering costs. This is one of the reasons why I think we have to look at healthcare. Our current healthcare system just continues to drive up costs. Anybody who says, keep the same, keep the healthcare system and don't even let Obamacare get eroded. Look at what we're doing with healthcare costs and how much that is impacting folks. Here's another big one, and I'll leave with this one. Housing. We haven't had major public housing investment, since LBJ? Before that, maybe FDR? That we have housing costs just going way through the roof. And one of the reasons we have housing costs going way through the roof is because we haven't invested in public housing. And that's something we know how to do. We're better at it now than we were 50 years ago. We're just doing less of it. That'd be a lot of union jobs. Not all Teamster jobs, there'd be a lot of union jobs. But not only that, it would mean that rents go down. But not only for rents, for homeowners, it means you'd have more home-owning opportunities in more neighborhoods because costs wouldn't just be jacked up by people who are major oligarchs buying all this stuff, hedge funds and PE firms buying all this housing. I absolutely agree that we should have a middle-class focused and an overall pro-America focused economic policy. I just don't think that as simple as, and I don't think it's limited to, tax cuts for rich people, tariffs, and whatever your third thing was you like so much. Oh, yeah, making sure we don't change the healthcare system to make it reduce costs. We disagree on those things. I got
to
go.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
We'll be back with your calls in a speed round and a big, big finish after this.
Public education is the cornerstone of democracy, and right now that foundation is under attack. Across the country, lawmakers are pushing school vouchers to defund public schools, sending your tax dollars to private religious institutions. At the same time, they're forcing the Ten Commandments into classrooms and replacing trained counselors with unlicensed school chaplains. This is not protecting religious freedom. It's violating it. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is standing up for our First Amendment. FFRF uses legal action, education, and advocacy to defend the separation of church and state and protect every student's right to a secular education. If you care about preserving democracy, truth in the classroom, and the Constitution itself, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/school or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's to 511-511 to become a member. Because public funds should fund education, not religious indoctrination. Text fees may apply.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money. So join the ranks of the successful people that finished their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat joining us tomorrow after 9:35 to break down all Wisconsin news. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A heat advisory is in effect until 8 p.m. for our listening area. Senator Tammy Baldwin is part of a group of legislators that have introduced the Child Care for Working Families Act, which is part of a package of bills Baldwin says will lower costs for Wisconsin families.
I've introduced a package of bills that will address the challenges that I hear about in every community every day, from the high cost of housing, child care, and household goods.
The child care bill would cover a wide range of issues currently facing child care providers in Wisconsin and across the country.
Our bill ensures that no working family will pay more than 7% of their income on child care. This legislation will also provide grants to help communities in need to open new child care centers, covering startup and licensing costs. We'll also make sure that child care workers are paid a living wage and achieve parity with elementary school teachers who have similar credentials and experience. Lastly, our bill would dramatically increase access to quality pre-K.
Baldwin said that an investment in child care will also have other benefits.
When parents cannot find affordable care, they cannot join the workforce or go back to school to get the skills they need to land a good paying job.
Two other bills, the Price Gouging Prevention Act and First Time Homebuyer Tax Credit Act, are part of the package. Meanwhile, Governor Tony Evers has launched the Child Care Bridge Payment Program, which provides $110 million in monthly direct payments to Wisconsin child care providers through June 2026. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunny, hot, and humid today, with high temperatures scraping the low 90s, but it really feeling more like 100 degrees, prompting a heat advisory. And with the winds barely moving, it's not helping any. Overnight, some showers and storms are possible, and some could be strong to severe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 85 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Ben Giles, founder of Laughable Productions and the funniest person in Oshkosh contest. Then, If Walls Could Talk host and podcaster Mike Siegel joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 6 till 8.
Hello.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it.
You've probably heard the rumor that you can't regrow cartilage, but what if that's not entirely true? Science has discovered a unique protein that may help support joint cartilage regeneration naturally. Imagine moving freely without stiffness or pain. And the bonus? A glowing, hydrated look with fewer fine lines and wrinkles. Meet Native Path Collagen, a clean, single-ingredient formula made with hydrolyzed collagen peptides. No fillers, no additives, no artificial junk. It's third-party tested for purity and packed with only type 1 and type 3 collagen fibers, the ones your body needs most. For healthy joints, skin, bones, hair, nails, and gut. Just 2 scoops a day delivers 18 grams of protein. Mix it into coffee, tea, or any drink. Completely flavorless, easy to use. Consistency is the key. And right now, get a special bundle deal of fraction of the retail price and free shipping. Available only at getnativepath.com/Tom. That's getnativepath, GetNativePath.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. Feel better. Look younger. Start your transformation today. We're back. Let's go speed round with your calls. And right now, let's play a quick video. It's prompted by a call earlier. This is the Mehdi Hasan interview, the sort of Jubilee roundtable thing where they take, and it was him versus Republicans. And here is one of those right-wing Republicans, self-described, that came to the dais. Go ahead.
How would Connor's America look? What would it look like?
Well, quite frankly, I think we would deport people who shouldn't be here.
No, I didn't ask about deporting. What does the government look like?
What does the government look like?
Yeah.
I would say, quite frankly, it's under a sort of benevolent leader such as Franco.
Where does he come from?
It could be a kind of aristocratic class. Could be someone
who... No, but who picks the autocrat?
Frankly, the people. I mean, we could hold a vote on it.
Isn't that democracy?
Well, sure. You can have a vote to get to that stage.
And then no more votes afterwards.
Absolutely. Wow. 100%.
Wow. And if that autocrat kills you and your family, you're fine with that?
Well, I'm not going to be a part of the group that he kills, because that's
know?
The whole thing.
How
well,
do you know?
Carl Schmitt
Autocrats
makes,
tend to
Carl
kill Ma- everyone,
Carl
even their
Schmitt
own supporters.
Makes this point very well in his work. It's the friend-enemy distinction, right? You
Carl
liberals,
Schmitt, the
you,
Nazi theoretician.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care.
Are you a fan of the Nazis?
I don't care. I frankly don't care being called a Nazi at all.
I didn't say that.
Doesn't
I didn't actually say that. I said, are you a fan of the Nazis?
Well, they persecuted the church a little bit. I'm not a fan of that. But
what about the persecution of the Jews?
Well, I mean, I certainly don't support anyone's human dignity being assaulted. I'm a Catholic.
But and you don't condemn Nazi persecution of the Jews?
I think that there was a little bit of persecution.
We
and stuff
may have
like that,
to
which
rename
bad,
the show because
but...
you're a little bit more than a far-right Republican.
Hey, what can I say?
I think you say I'm a fascist.
Yeah, I am.
Absolutely. I'm just checking who's clapping just to get my set of where everyone
because
is on this.
Because
you know that millions of people are going to be watching you on YouTube and checking out
yeah,
who the fascists
absolutely.
And the Nazis are.
I'm not ashamed of that whatsoever.
No, clearly you're not.
During the pre-war period, prior to World War II, it was only those parties that properly enacted the people's will. That's why they won. The conservatives were fat cats.
Are you
they
in
were
favor
aristocrats.
Of, are you in favor of killing people who aren't like you?
Quite frankly, I'm not if
you mentioned
they...
Franco earlier. Franco killed a lot of innocent people.
Oh, well, he killed communists. He killed people who raped nuns and killed priests.
What about children who he killed and women who he killed?
What are you talking about? He never killed any women or children. He was Catholic,
He only
dude.
Killed combatants. Is that what you're claiming?
Yeah, he
though?
Only killed combatants.
Never killed any innocent people.
The white terror was only punishing those people who did acts of terrorism. And again, are you supporting, like, raping innocent women? Nuns, dude. Killing priests? I mean, priests don't brandish guns and kill
you
people.
You just refuse to condemn the Nazi Holocaust, my friend. I don't think you're in a position to ask anyone any questions.
I quite frankly don't care what you think about me. If I'm a Nazi and being a Nazi...
And feeling is neutral, so...
And being a Nazi means upholding human dignity, know. Because I even believe in your dignity. I don't... In a
don't,
state that I was
with
running,
the greatest of respect,
I wouldn't want to hurt you
debate.
Or anything like that, but quite frankly...
Here? I don't debate fascists.
The part that... I found most troubling and most important about the video was not that this guy, I think his name is Connor Black, who ran who was a Proud Boy organizer. It's, yes, in part, that he was willing to acknowledge that, yes, I'm a fascist. And after quoting, it's not usually what he leads with. And it was after quoting a Nazi author. And it's not just that, although that should disturb us. And it should disturb us that that's where things are and that he is viewed as sort of a acceptable part of debate society. That the Overton window is became popular includes that. That's in the range of if you're a Republican who you can be. That's disturbing. That should disturb us. What's more disturbing is how many people clapped when he said, "I'm a fascist." He tried to do a couple of things, right? The right wing tries to do a couple of things. It's like, don't, you're like, "Oh, you call us Nazis." But that's just you name calling. And they say that the Republicans, just because you voted for Trump doesn't make you a Nazi. The Teamster guy who's wanted to justify the fact that he and a bunch of his union members, like Donald Trump, say, no, we just did it for these other things. Not for this, not for this stuff over here, but we kind of like the tariffs and we like the tax cuts. And, you know, we wanted to make sure nobody's trying to get to a healthcare system that changes how healthcare is delivered now. And not wanted to focus on a big part of the coalition that elected this guy. It's now part of that discussion. They'll say to the Teamsters, "Oh, he's calling you a racist, calling you a fascist just for supporting Donald Trump." And it becomes their move. That wasn't what happened here. He tried to say, "I don't care if you call me a Nazi." No, I didn't. He said, "Are you a fan of the Nazis? Are you in support of that stuff?" And then the guy, and he didn't just say, it's an overstatement when you call us fascists. It's an overstatement when you call Trump a fascist. No, he said, "I'm a fascist." He said, "Yeah, I'm a fascist. I am. I'm a fascist." And then, was it more than half the room that clapped? If you were watching the video, so one young woman was like, looked kind of uncomfortable. So it wasn't 20. It wasn't 20 for 20 right-wing Republicans selected for this thing that liked what this guy was saying. But you heard the claps. It was more than 5. Was it 11? Was it a majority of the people in that room who liked the idea to say, "Yeah, I'm a fascist"? That should trouble you. That should trouble you. And it should mean, it should give you pause when you're directing your union members how to vote or when you're voting yourself. It should give you pause. It should make you consider with whom you are in cahoots. And rethink some of those coalition politics and how broad or narrow are you going to define your interests? Will your interests include the natural environment? Will your interests include poor people? Will your interests include people beyond your union members? And will the interests of your union members go beyond immigration and tax cuts? Will the interests of the human beings and the families that are involved in your union now and in the future, will they go beyond? I'm not the main expert. I'm not the prime person to listen to. But I do think we have to expand our analysis a little bit and vote not only selfishly and vote not only based on a smaller array of interests, because they're going to keep coming for other folks. And there's a growing part of this set of Confederates that are running the country that really are for Carl Schmitt. That really are for a set of ideas that is deeply un-American and damaging and ultimately worse for our members. End up talking about that more than I thought. Let's do speed round so we can get through to folks. Let's go to CJ from Shreveport, Louisiana. You're on the air. Speed round.
Hey, okay, yeah. Everybody's talking about the South Park episode that aired this past Wednesday. That's not the one I want to talk about.
Okay.
They did another episode several years ago called The Poor Kid, and I highly recommend that to everyone because it's one of the best illustrations of a serious problem in society called last place aversion syndrome. It's the principle that causes people to willingly accept things that will keep them down just so long as they're not in last place and have somebody to look down on.
Yep.
And LBJ expressed it to Phil Moyers. I'll tell you what's at the heart of it. If you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the best black man, he won't notice that you're picking his pockets. Hey, give him somebody to look down on, and he'll empty his pockets for you.
Yeah. Thank you, CJ. Appreciate the call. Devon from Pittsburgh, you're on the air.
Hey, real quick, I just wanted to mention a man named Luis Leon. He lived in Allentown, Pennsylvania. He was admitted to the United States in 1987 under political asylum because he was being tortured in Pinochet's Chile. On June 20th, he decided, because he had lost his green card, his family convinced him to go get a replacement, and he went to the immigration office with his wife on June 20th, whereupon he was taken into custody and disappeared. His wife was held for 10 hours. He resurfaced in Guatemala, so newspapers outside of the United States, like The Guardian, have reported on the fact that this man was found in a hospital in Guatemala. And now ICE is saying they never took him in custody. So I'm imploring everyone to call Governor Josh Shapiro and ask him to please take an interest in this case, because up till now, he wasn't really aware, according to the people in his office, that this was even happening. And this man has a family in Allentown, Pennsylvania, his wife, his grandchildren, and they would really like to know what happened to their grandfather. So it's up to Josh Shapiro to ask ICE why in the heck they're saying the man doesn't exist. Yeah. There's got to
be and of course, Josh Shapiro did not direct it. So make sure that you focus your legitimate ire and the most important targets.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Be right back. The speed round and the big, big finish. This is all too familiar to me. And you wake up with a scratchy throat. You know your body. You know you're getting sick. Your choices are tough it out, get sick and take time off work, hope the doctor can see you this month, wait 2 hours at urgent care, or open your medical emergency kit like mine right here. I just match my symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription. Start on the right meds and nip this in the bud now. This is not a first aid kit. This comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat dozens of common and serious medical issues. Strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you'll know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. My meds are in my kit. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get $45 off at urgentcarekit.com/Tom. Use the promo code Tom, T-H-O-M. That's promo code Tom at urgentcarekit.com/Tom.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently that the Trump administration's DOJ requested complete voter records from 12 states. Minnesota just refused to cooperate. In Florida, there's a decision in a court case over the city of Miami's proposed postponement of a city election. First to Minnesota, where the Secretary of State's office notified the Trump administration's Department of Justice that it would not comply with its request to turn over all voter records from the 2020 and 2024 elections, including voting and registration records. The office's general counsel said DOJ failed to provide legal justification for the request and did not specify how the data would be secured. DOJ has requested records from 11 other states, including Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. New Hampshire has also refused to comply, citing state privacy statutes. In June, the Miami City Commission voted to delay city elections from November 2025 to November 2026. It would extend Miami's commissioner and term-limited mayor by a year and was called a power grab. After mayoral candidate Emilio Gonzalez sued, a Miami-Dade County judge ruled July 21st that the city commission could not move the election without voter approval, according to the Miami Herald. We've linked to Minnesota's letter to DOJ and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota,
the fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
And we're back. Let's go to Joanne from Berkshire, Massachusetts, I believe.
Hi. Are you there?
I am.
Okay. Listen, I wanted to clarify some things in reference to the Epstein case and why it is so important, because it really says so much about our society. And Trump is a role model. And the way that he interfered with Epstein's case down in Miami, Florida, is just another example of his association and his continued association right up until the day that Epstein was murdered in a cell by a cop killer, Nicholas Taglioni, who was put in that cell with him. He was the former Briarcliff Manor, New York police cop who had killed four others. He was a mob hitman, okay? He was not hung. But I want to point out the fact that this case is crucial because it's an erosion of our RICO laws in reference to sex trafficking across borders. Of young girls and their testimony, and they themselves were dismissed and devalued as not credible. But the secret deal that was given to Jeffrey Epstein down in Miami after the Palm Beach police did an extensive and very thorough investigation. I have to say, you almost can't helicopter in or parachute down on these things. You have to see the first articles because they will disappear, okay? But at any rate, the man who gave him this sweet deal was the U.S. Attorney Miami. His name is Alexander Acosta, and they agreed to only charge him with state charge, okay? It wasn't going to be federal. They're going to immune him. So there goes RICO, all right? With one charge of soliciting prostitution of a child under 18. The first victim to come forward was 14 years old. In addition to that, and then they did an investigation, and these cops went around knocking on doors and found these other children who were hiding out, who were so ashamed. But the other thing is he got a deal where he was only 18 months, which he charged with, and this was a secret deal because the victims were left out of 18 months, but he could leave at 6 a.m. in the morning and he had to check back in at 7 p.m. So, I mean, talk about a sweetheart deal, all very secret. Then Acosta is during Trump's very first term, one of the first appointments that Trump makes is Alexander Acosta to be Secretary of Labor. Secretary of Labor oversees federal prosecution of RICO, okay, of these sex trafficking. He immediately drastically cuts the budget and reduces the agents involved in investigations at the request of Donald Trump. His appointment is rushed through in less than a week. And then when Epstein is arrested again in New York by the FBI and the New York police in July 19th, I think it is, 2019, Acosta resigns. And he's now a dean at a law school down in Florida. I mean, a dean, setting a role model, you know, he's the dean of the school. But all of this goes
So Joanne, your base point as I understand it, your base point is that Donald Trump has been engaged in, the Trump administration has been engaged in covering up and covering for and blocking on behalf of and pushing against investigations into Jeffrey Epstein for a while now. Is that the basic case?
That is it. That is basically it, but to protect Donald Trump's role because he was with young girls.
So,
we know that.
So here's what I'd say. It's towards the end of the program, but that doesn't mean I want to give this short shrift. I think where you have facts, either because, I mean, even just to remind people, calling into the show, even posting it in places where surprising allies might need to see it. I think keeping this topic, making sure there's some justice here, feels really important.
It is more about our society and about us and what we're going to stand for.
Yeah.
And are we going to set this as a role model for the next generation? It's okay.
Yeah, you're right, Joanne. I appreciate the call. Marsh from Santa Rosa, our last caller.
My gosh, I want to be a kind of Dr. Bandy Lee kind of voice around all the issues that have to do with sexuality, pedophilia, violence at large, because they all are symptomatic of deeper systemic issues and a lack of loving intimacy skills throughout the world, not just in our culture. And if all the things we consider problems and we point the finger and blame rather than looking at what they're really, you know, emanating from, then no healing, no rehab, no real change ever can take place. I have a Substack. My name is Marcia Singer. I'm almost 80. Spent my life healing from sexual injuries and helping others heal, and doing a new book called Mad About Sex. And I do a lot of writing about this ability to look within and find the real, you know, systemic, where these things come from, rather than just pointing to symptoms and thinking we're handling the problems. Thank you.
All right. Good plug. Thank you, Marcia. Appreciate the call. Appreciate being part of the community. I want to say thank you. Tom will be back with us tomorrow. I do hope that I sometimes have mixed feelings about salacious topics, because I know that it is so easy to push attention there. And attention is so often misspent, so I'm pointed at the wrong thing. I do believe that we do have to make the case and use the opportunity to make the case of who is the current administration fighting for and who they're fighting against, who they're protecting and who they're not protecting. That is a fundamental drumbeat we got to keep going. And you? You're the coalition of the benevolently irrational, the good people doing good things for no good reason, and you are priceless. Definition of priceless, worth a lot, not for sale. I'm really grateful to have been with you for these last few hours. Really appreciate your time. Be with Tom tomorrow. We'll be back. Be well.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
How many different beauty potions do you have sitting on your bathroom counter right now, eh? Well, if it's more than just Vibrant Super C Serum, listen up. The ingredients in this one bottle can replace your day creams, eye creams, night creams, neck creams, wrinkle creams, and dark spot reducers. Louise loves this stuff. She says it really works and has really noticeably improved her skin. Super C Serum is made with the highest quality ingredients, including vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, vitamin B5, and vitamin E, and with noticeable results. Simplify your skincare routine, get a healthier complexion, and minimize wrinkles and age spots with Vibrance. And if you don't find it better than your current skincare routine, you'll get a full refund. Just go to Vibrance.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, to save up to 37% off and get free shipping. That's Vibrance, V-I-B-R-I-A-N-C-E.com. Save up to 37% off and get free shipping. That's Vibrance.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul VandenPlas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. NFL legend Deion Sanders, now the head football coach at the University of Colorado, revealed today he's been treated for bladder cancer. He made the announcement during a press conference alongside his doctors.
Without wonderful people like this, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today, because it grew so expeditiously, I could say. But please get yourself checked.
Sanders' doctor said treatment included removing his bladder and constructing a new one. A federal judge blocked one part of the Republican tax policy bill that blocks funding to Planned Parenthood, writing it likely violates the Constitution in three different ways. President Trump met with UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer in Scotland to discuss the humanitarian situation in Gaza. As President Trump disputed Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's claim that there's no starvation. Today, two Israeli human rights groups said Israel is committing genocide. This is ABC News.